Sunday school class. We're going to be going over the eighth commandment. We see this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15.
Just turning it on, so I have the Bible.
Before we get into anything, let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the ability, again, Lord, to just study your word, to talk about your word. Father, may it work in our hearts. May you teach us this morning, Lord, and help us to learn more of you as we look at this commandment. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Who are
you? Guys?
Yeah.
No, it's just me.
Just you today. Yeah.
Okay, so start off by reading, as is our habit, all the commandments through this one. It's Exodus 20, verse 1 through 15. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Okay. Word of the Lord. So what is stealing? It's the taking of another's property without permission, basically, right? This really can be a broad category. Leviticus 6, 1 through 5 says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a matter of deposit or security, or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor, or has found something lost and lied about it, swearing falsely in any of all the things that people do and sin thereby, if he has sinned and has realized his guilt, and will restore what he took by robbery, or what he got by oppression, or the deposit that was committed to him, or the lost thing that he found, or anything about which he had sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full, and shall add a fifth to it, and give it to him to whom it belongs on the day he realizes his guilt. That's a very broad category that would include withholding what is due someone to be considered robbery. Not just the actual taking of someone else's property, but withholding what is theirs could also be considered robbery, stealing. And we're going to get in a little bit more into that, so we'll start breaking it down and digging a little bit. Always there's going to be a lot of scripture references, so we're going to go around the room, taking turns. We're going to start on this side of the room, my right, this morning. the first question you see in your handout, what does this prohibit and what does this not prohibit? Start with Leviticus 19:11.
So you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another.
Okay. So basic.
Where is Joshua?
After Deuteronomy.
Shall not steal.
After Deuteronomy.
Lie, right? Or deal falsely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, it's a series of things he's listing here.
Sure.
Of course, stealing is one.
Right, which is what we're looking at.
It
today.
Goes on to talk about, you know, not giving the wages of a hired man.
Right. Right. So there's more. We actually circled back to some other verses in that chapter in a little bit. Tammy, can you read Colossians 3:9-10?
Okay. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator.
So we have very good reasons for Paul why not to lie.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We're not talking
lie
about
to
lying.
Each other.
Why are we talking about lying? That's next week.
Right. What else did he say?
Do not lie to each other. But it says because you, since you've taken off your old
okay.
practices, the way we.
I apologize. I had the wrong reference in there.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
Let me make sure
I'm on
the right track.
James 5:4.
Let me make sure I'm on the right track here.
You check the next couple.
Yeah, James 5:4 is
yeah,
is good one.
You can do James 5:4.
Okay, James 5:4. Okay, it says, look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty.
Okay.
So that's definitely, if you say
wages.
That you're going to pay somebody something for doing something for you, then you need to do it.
Right, that's what I was talking about, withholding something that belongs to
somebody
right?
else, right.
Or committed to somebody else.
Right.
So, is it possible to steal from God? And if so, how? Let's look at some verses there. Joshua 6:17-19.
My mom's going to read that one.
And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house. Because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in my wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel cursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord.
So they were putting stuff to God. Is that what that was trying to say?
Yeah, there were some other follow-on.
It's like giving your first fruits.
Well, the city was devoted to the Lord for destruction, so it belonged to God, right? So God was warning them not to take things that belong to him.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? Don't keep for yourselves the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it.
And somebody actually violated that.
Somebody did, and we're going to actually talk about that.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
But this is a way to steal from God. This is the question on this one, right? Ecclesiastes 5:4-5.
I'm going to read that. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vows. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it.
So again, withholding something from God, not
gotcha.
Keeping what you have promised or vowed. And we all know the Malachi 3:8-10.
Will a man rob God, yet you are robbing me? You ask, how do you rob me? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouses, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure.
So God says, do not rob me. How are you robbing him? By not giving him what we need to be giving, right? By not tithing, by not giving our offerings, by not things that are promised or vowed or things like that, right? So when we withhold, it's like robbing, stealing. Any other questions or comments on that? Okay, Exodus, we're gonna go over Exodus 22, 1 through 13. And we're gonna talk a little bit about that passage. So, you want to read that, Andy?
Sure. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. If the thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. But if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. He shall surely make restitution if he owns anything, then he shall be sold for his theft. If what he stole is actually found alive in his possession, whether an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. If a man lets a field or vineyard be grazed bare and lets his animal loose so that it grazes in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and from the best of his own vineyard. If a fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes so that stacked grain or the standing grain or the field itself is consumed, he who started the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep for him, and it is stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, he shall pay double. If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house shall appear before the judges to determine whether he laid hands on his neighbor's property. For every breach of trust, whether it is for ox, for donkey, for sheep, for clothing, or for any lost thing about which one says, this is it, the case of both parties shall come before the judges, by whom the judges condemn, or he whom the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. If a man gives his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep for him, and it dies, or is hurt, or is driven away while no one is looking, an oath before the Lord shall be made by the two of them that he has not laid hands on his neighbor's property, and its owner shall accept it, and he shall not make restitution. But if it is actually stolen from him, he shall make restitution to its owner. If it is all torn to pieces, let him bring it as evidence. He shall not make restitution for what has been torn to pieces. If a man borrows anything from his neighbor and it is injured or dies while its owner is not with it, he shall make full restitution. If its owner is with it, he shall not make restitution. If it is hired, it came for its hire. I guess I read 2 more verses.
You read the 15, didn't you?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. It's all connected.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The original passage actually was the 15, but I trimmed it because we're trying to worry about that.
That's okay.
So Moses enlarges upon the commandment rather than just saying do not steal. He deals with some hypothetical cases of theft, right? So what was the restitution when a rustler was caught?
It was 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep.
Repayment, but not just repayment one for one, right? They had to pay, to add to what they took.
And it's interesting, right? the ratio there.
Well, it's in one of those cases, he was, he used it in different ways. So it's like, he's just trying to say, like, if you sold that and you got money for it, then you sold my ox and then you got money for it and they cut into all pieces, they got money for it. Like, you have to make restitution on the whole thing, basically, is what it made it sound like.
You have to make restitution on
I'm paraphrasing.
On what you took, and not just simply returning it. If you actually stole it, you have to actually give more than what
you took. Yeah, you have to give 5 oxen for every ox you steal, and 4 sheep for every sheep you steal.
Wow.
Because he didn't know what you did with
that's
that.
That's a lot of interest.
Right. Well, in the Leviticus,
that's right.
In the Leviticus passage I read earlier, if you steal something, you have to add a fifth to it, right?
Yeah.
So depending on what it is that you take, there's you have to add to it. Some things are just a fifth of what it is. Some things are specific, like four oxen for one, or I mean five oxen for one, four sheep for one, right? So the point is that you can't. It's not just a matter of, oh, sorry, here you go.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Right. In other words, there's a penalty. The penalty is the extra oxen or the extra sheep.
And the penalty is meant to cost you, right? And that's how they dealt back then. A lot of their wealth was in their livestock, and their cattle,
right.
And their sheep. So how was a property owner who killed an intruder during the act punished?
Not.
Wasn't.
No blood guiltiness.
Right. He killed somebody in the act.
Well, if it was night,
well,
at least.
Yeah.
Death.
Because if it's fatal, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed.
Not guilty. There's no blood guilt if they kill him while they were doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. It is assumed to be night because it's assumed that that's when the theft normally happens.
Or somebody's
right.
breaking into your
house
at night and
yeah.
you kill them.
So.
There's no blood guiltiness.
But was that property owner guiltless who later hunted down an intruder and killed him?
Yes, that was not right. I said yes, that was not right.
So was he guiltless of that?
No, he was not guiltless.
No.
There
is blood guilt on that one.
The way the question
that's the whole defending your own property laws come from for today. Basically.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
If someone's coming in intruding, then you shoot them. It's not you're not guilty of their blood.
But if you chase them down 95 and shoot them.
But if you chase them down 95. And don't let the cops handle it. Yes, now you've...
As soon as you step out of your doorway,
it becomes
right?
revenge at that point. So
then it changes, it sounds like.
In verse 5, is verse 5 an example of stealing?
Yeah.
Well, it's
looks like you're saving your vineyard, but you're going to use your neighbor's, right? You're not supposed to do that.
Well, you shouldn't be letting your animals graze in someone else's yard.
Right.
You're stealing their grain, right?
Yeah.
You can't use it for your own cows now because it's all eaten.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, that's the idea.
It's messed
that
up.
Taking, right.
How does that relate to or translate to today? How does something like that happen today?
That's like me pinning my dog up in your yard. That's messed up.
It's messed up.
Yeah.
I think verse 4 is interesting. I know you're already past him. If the animal is found alive in the possession of the thief, then they shall pay double. Not, because he mentions sheep there as well. And earlier he said four sheep for one, four sheep, but I think that assumes the original animal was not returned. But in this case.
Oh, yeah, it must be, something like that, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right,
the original animal was not returned, so therefore you pay four sheep for sheep.
Well, we're talking about how.
But if the original animal is still alive and you give
yeah.
that original one back, then you have to give another one.
Yeah, because back then it was the Wild West. Before Moses put these laws down, it was death was the punishment for everything. So if somebody stole your stuff, you should kill them. And it caused a lot of problems socially.
Now let's try to stay on task here.
Right. This was his way of like curing that.
Yeah.
How could something like what we're talking about, letting someone just graze in your neighbor's field, how does that something like that relate? What's today in relation to that? Like, what is that for us?
Haley said stealing.
It is
stealing.
Yeah.
It
is. Okay.
But if it's not your property,
you're right. There's no right.
Yeah, if it's not your property, you need to stay off of it unless you're invited.
You're using somebody else's material.
Right.
You're using somebody else's goods.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Just so that you don't use
yeah.
yours.
What about his own livestock needs to eat that?
So it'd be like me going to Annie's house and chopping some trees down and taking all the wood.
There you go.
That's a very good example.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
That's a very good example of that.
Unless
I invited to.
Yeah.
Trees. Well, yeah.
So, how about when someone gives you their property to hold for safekeeping, what kind of care should we exercise in doing that?
Like you do in
7 through 13.
Due diligence.
Due diligence.
Still think of property. Like a land property. Think of property like a car. So if I borrow Paul's car, I scrape the side a little bit, get a little fender bender, turn it. What's the problem? And he's upset with me. He should be upset. I should pay for that.
Yeah, or hit and run, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I crashed into a post office. Whatever.
Where are we at? I mean, Tammy? Leviticus 19:13.
Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. You want me to go on to 14?
No, just 13.
Do not hold back wages.
Do not rob your neighbor.
Right.
Fraud or hold back wages.
Right.
So again, condemning those who cheat their neighbors.
Yeah.
And that happens today. We've already mentioned several instances of how that can happen today, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is considered stealing, robbing, right? Okay, so let's look at Joshua 7. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to probably go through most of it, but we'll look at individual passages within the body of this question. So first, why was God so angry with Israel that he allowed them to lose the battle of Ai? Looking at Paul, you got chapter 7, 10 through 15.
Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. Why have you fallen face down? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant that I appointed for them. They have taken some of what was set apart. They have stolen, deceived, and put those things with their own belongings. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They will turn their backs and run from their enemies because they have been set apart for destruction. I will no longer be with you unless you remove from among you what is set apart. Go and consecrate the people. Tell them to consecrate themselves for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are things that are set apart among you, Israel. You will not be able to stand against your enemies until you remove what is set apart. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe, the tribe that the Lord selects is to come forward, clan by clan, the clan that the Lord selects is to come forward, family by family, the family the Lord selects is to come forward, man by man, and the one who is caught with the thing set apart must be burned, along with everything he has, because he has violated the Lord's covenant and committed an outrage in Israel."
So safe to say God was angry with them?
Safe to say.
And why?
They had violated his covenant. He had told them not to take that which had been set apart for destruction. Right.
That's how they violated his covenant.
Mm-hmm.
They took what was set apart.
They stole from God. These things were devoted to destruction. They were God's, right? And they took them, or a person took them.
For their own gain, yeah.
For his own gain. So this person named Achan. Did he confess his sin willingly?
Yes.
16-21.
Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was taken. The clans of Judah came forward, and he took the Zeborites. He had the clans of the Zeborites come forward by family. Okay, why are we reading all this?
Go ahead.
I can't say all the words, hon. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son," verse 19, "give glory to God, the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I was in the plunder of beautiful robes from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighted 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the underground inside my tent with the silver underneath."
So they came forward by tribe. They chose the tribe of Judah. They came forward by clan. He chose that clan. They came forward by family. He chose Achan's family. They came forward one by one, and he chose Achan. That was what God told Joshua to do. That's what happened the next day, right? So Achan was picked, and did he confess willingly?
He was picked. That's good.
It's interesting how God had them go through this process. He could have just told them, Achan,
right?
Yep. Because God is telling Joshua exactly what to do.
Yep.
Right. Tell them
which
scapegoat.
Tell them which tribe, which clan, yeah. Which family.
So imagine you're Achan, and you see this process playing out. And you see it slowly narrowing down to you. And you know you're guilty.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he had a
lot of things. Well, I think they all felt that. They were looking for a scapegoat. They couldn't burn the whole place to the ground. They needed to pick up one person.
No, he was guilty.
He was the one.
He was guilty.
The one person.
Right. He wasn't the only one guilty.
Yes,
he was.
He was the only one.
In this scenario.
In this instance, he was the only.
He was the only one guilty.
Yeah.
In this instance, he was the only one that took the stuff.
We didn't read where he actually stole it, but it's written.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But then they called him on it. Do not hide it from God. And. He's
and of course, by the time it got to him, he was ready to fess it up, you know.
Yeah.
But you can imagine the weight of that.
I wouldn't call that exactly willingly.
No, Joshua said
I think at some point he couldn't get out of it, so he decided to just go ahead and fess it. But
yeah.
To me, willingly means you come forward right away and say,
But Joshua ask him. He
right.
says,
and
tell
Joshua
me what
him.
You have done. Don't hide it.
Right.
So this wasn't the guy that the earthquake happened to.
What did Achan call the root of his crime?
Covetousness.
Yeah.
Coveting,
yeah.
Wanting what somebody
else
has. Well,
that's the Ten Commandments. We'll talk about that then. Coveting. And what effect did Achan's crime have on Israel? Verses 4 and 5.
Of Joshua 7.
Yeah. Mom, you want to read that? 7,
verses
4 and 5.
Joshua 7, verse 4 and 5.
So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 30 and 6 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water.
Mm-hmm. So what effect did this crime have?
They're defeated.
They got defeated. They were smote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They went a-running.
And what else?
36 of their men were killed. Right.
What else does it say?
Their hearts melted.
Their hearts melted.
They melted in fear, making like water. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so finally, what was Achan's punishment? Verse 25, Matt?
Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? Today the Lord will trouble you." So all of Israel stoned them to death. They burned their bodies and threw stones on them, and raised over him a large pile of rocks that remain to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, that place is called the Valley of Achor to this day.
So verse 24, of course, tells us the scope of this, which was that it was Achan, his sons, his daughters.
Oh, the number of people.
His oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him.
Yeah. Basically everything that was part of his
household. It wasn't just
household.
Him, it was everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything,
true.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Yep.
Yeah, but this is what happens with stealing, is you see something and you think, you want to have it. And that's basically, that's what it really becomes. You see something and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And
so we go feeling. Over that. We go over the story to basically think about what is the effect on our society because of theft.
Yeah, people, like what's happening right now, people just going in the store and just grabbing stuff and taking it.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to punish them for
it.
Like, they want it, or they'll probably just resell it. But
so,
I mean,
well, careful what you're saying there. You're saying the punishment for theft right now in our society is nothing.
Well,
in some places. That's why it's done.
Yeah. So the effect on our society is what? What does that do to the society when that happens?
It breaks it down. It's just demoralized.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's,
That's You're talking basically about riots or...
People going into the Louis Vuitton store and picking up all their stuff.
Looting, that's what I meant to say, not riots. The looting. It's
not looting either, even. They're just literally going into CVS and taking all the stuff from CVS. I mean, there are certain places in this country right now where you're allowed to do that. So,
Not in our town.
Yeah, thank God.
If they can't prove you stole a certain amount of, or above it, they don't even prosecute. They don't do nothing.
I'm not trying to help you with that conversation.
In those societies, there's no law. It becomes lawlessness.
It was lawlessness, exactly. That's what it's become, lawlessness.
So that's a major thing. What about shoplifting or stealing from your workplace?
Would
that be wrong?
Yeah, it's wrong.
Stealing.
Stealing, right? Even from your workplace?
You used to go crazy over a paperclip. I don't do that anymore. It's okay if I went home with the paperclip.
I mean, it depends on whether the workplace values it. So, for example, there's a lot of old monitors at my work that are broken. So I asked the guy, the IT guy, if I could have them because I can fix them sometimes. And so that's not stealing.
Well, no, not if you ask.
That's different than if I were to just take the broken ones home with me, even though they're just in a pile in the middle, in the corner of a storehouse.
Yeah.
Collecting dust, it's still stealing, unless
that's
you
right.
ask.
That's right.
That's not hard to ask.
That's right.
It's not hard to ask. What about times of economic downturn? There are certain people, we call them, situation ethicists. That argue that a certain amount of stealing is justifiable. For example, stealing bread is rationalized as a crime of necessity. Right. Matt, I think it's your turn. Proverbs 6, 30 to 31.
Okay.
Aladdin, where he stole the bread to feed somebody.
David, that him and his men ate the priest's bread or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
During war,
But they didn't have to steal it. They just
asked the priest.
It's unlawful because it was the priest's bread.
Right.
Yeah, but they asked the priest.
That's under a different commandment because
that was
deception. So that would be covered under lying.
All right. Proverbs 7. Oh, wait, I'm in the wrong place. Oh, yeah, Proverbs 6, 30 to 31. People don't despise the thief if he steals to satisfy himself if he is hungry. Still, if caught, he must pay seven times as much. He must give up all the wealth of his house.
So does that justify theft under certain circumstances? Does that proverb justify it?
No, it says still he must pay.
Right. Even though, what does it start with? People don't
despise him.
Don't despise him.
Because we can understand
why
they did it.
It's still not justified.
There's a genuine need in that case.
Right.
But still, there's still punishment for it.
Better if you ask.
Yes.
It's always better if you ask.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong if you ask.
Yes.
Look at that. Question 9. Judas Iscariot was not only a traitor, but a thief. So let's look at his thievery. John 12, 1 through 6. And try to link these two sins.
So Jesus,
betraying Jesus and his thievery.
Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people? Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it.
I like what Jesus said, though. Leave her alone.
Right, but so we're told that he's going to betray Jesus,
mm-hmm.
but he was also a thief.
Yeah, he was.
Judas.
Yes, he just wanted the money.
His motive was, hey, put more money in the money box so I can pull for more.
So I can, what do you call
is
that?
Is there a link to those two things? In Judas?
And what he was saying?
His betrayal, or his desire to betray, and his thievery.
I mean, if you're going to steal, you're going to betray at the same time. Somebody's trust.
It's already a betrayal.
Somebody's trust is being broken.
It's a very
it's a fine line.
It's very difficult for treasurers. That's something you have to guard against because you see all the money.
Yes.
As a treasurer, I know.
And you're responsible.
You don't really see the money. You just see.
Well, I don't see the money, but I mean, I've seen this happen to people who were responsible for money, where they just started signing checks because they had money in the bank,
and they embezzled money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, this is a very common problem for people who handle the money.
Yeah.
Which is why we now have more checks and balances, but even still, people still steal.
Yeah.
It's easy to conceal it, though.
It's easy to conceal it,
though. No one's keeping track of it but you.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
But like the question you asked, if you're going to steal, hand in hand goes with some kind of betrayal. Somebody's getting betrayed when you steal from them. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And God in
betraying the trust. You're betraying the trust they put in you?
Yes.
But even more than that, what we see about Judas is that he loved money more than he loved the poor.
Yes.
Ultimately, more than he loved Jesus, because he betrayed him for 30 coins of silver. So like his at the root of it was a love of money. That's at the root of both of those sins in the life of Judas.
Right.
And often, even in the root of at the sin of Achan, right? There's it's not just thievery; it's a desire.
You see something you want, and you sin to get it.
That's a great segue. Let's look at question 11. How can a love of money lead disciples to betrayal? So look at 1 Timothy 6 through 10. Is that you, Andy?
No.
Tammy.
1 Timothy, you said
6 through 10.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
There you go. So the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah. Of all kinds.
Of all kinds of evil.
Yeah. I love that.
Not the money itself. But our desire to have it, our coveting, our discontent is really what it comes down to, right? Because what does he start off with? Godliness with contentment is great gain.
because you're going to steal to get gain, you're not content with what the Lord is giving.
Not content with what you have. We brought nothing into the world, we take nothing out, right?
Right.
So we need to learn to be content with what God has given us. But if we have that burning desire to be rich, what does Paul say? We fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge us into ruin and destruction.
Yeah, this is true even like keeping up with the Joneses, you know, trying to keep up with the neighbor or have the bigger house or have the bigger car, or the nicer car. I mean, this falls into a lot of categories in real life. Where we not content with what we have or what we can afford, you know.
Yep.
It's something you have to fight all the time. You have to be content, you know. Okay.
So how did Jesus elevate this commandment of do not steal? We'll pick and choose here. Look at Matthew 5:42.
Give to the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you.
Okay, 6:30 basically says the same thing, right? If you want to find it there. Not just, again, talked about withholding being stealing, right? Jesus is saying give. Give to somebody, anyone who asks of you. Do not withhold, right? Look at Camille Matthew 6:19-21.
Anyone who breaks one of the, six.
19-21.
Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be.
For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. So again, it's about our contentment, it's about our desire of having other things, or is it about putting our hearts on godly things as opposed to earthly things? Right? So that's our true treasure.
Yeah.
Right. Don't set our hearts on our earthly possessions.
Right.
Can't take them with you.
Can't take them with you.
You can't take them with you, that's right.
You didn't come in with anything. You
weren't
going out with anything.
And let's read Romans 13.
Romans 13.
7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8.
Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
Again, not withholding, right? Render to all what they are owed, what they are due. Owe no one anything but love.
Yeah.
Including taxes.
Including taxes.
That's right.
That's right. That is absolutely right.
Yeah.
So, do not withhold what is rightfully somebody else's. So then how does Jesus fulfill this command? Let's look at some of these. Matt?
Jumping around, okay.
Matthew 17:24-27.
When they came to Capernaum, those who collected the double drachma tax approached Peter and said, "Doesn't your teacher pay the double drachma tax?" "Yes," he said. When he went to the house, Jesus spoke to him first. "What do you think, Simon? Who do earthly kings collect tariffs or taxes from? From their sons or from strangers?" "And from strangers," he said. "Then the sons are free," Jesus told him. "But so we won't offend them, go to the sea, catch in a fish hook, and take the first fish that you catch. When you open its mouth, you'll find a coin. Take it and give it to them for me and you."
So, how did Jesus fulfill this? He didn't withhold what was owed, even though, what was his point to Peter?
It wasn't technically owed.
He wasn't technically owed, right? Because it wasn't...
He wasn't a stranger.
So
the king and his sons do not pay tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's his point. He doesn't have to pay tax.
Well, it was a tariff tax.
Right.
The specific tax that he's referring to, yeah. Yeah.
But that's how he said it. The king or his son paid. No, they don't. That was the obvious answer,
mm-hmm.
right? But So they don't talk. Go get this and pay it for you and me. John 10:17-18.
For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father.
There you go. So Jesus, not withholding even his own life, to fulfill the commandment from his Father.
So what's the opposite of stealing?
Nothing. I guess,
giving, I would think, you know. Yeah. Of course, he gave the ultimate.
Yeah. He gave the ultimate. So he fulfilled the command to the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus gave his own life, not withholding, so that we would have life. So that we would have life. Mm-hmm. Right? So we should not be withholding anything. As Romans had said, owe no man anything but love. And the best way we can love is to share the gospel, right, with those who don't know it.
Greater love is no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Right. Mm. And to give our all to our God. As Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Mm. And 8:32 says that he who not give his own, spare his own son, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?
Mm.
So God does not withhold his blessings from us. We should not be withholding from each other.
So not only does he not steal from us, but he is constantly giving.
Right.
And that reminds you that everything you need, you'll always have. You know, maybe not everything you want, but everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, you always think about your life, you're like, yeah, I have everything I need. You know, like even something so simple as we were looking to buy a different house, it's like, I had to come to the conclusion, what do I really need? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, what do I really need? And, perfectly provided for, you know? So you just...
So our lesson
is called contentment.
Yeah, it is. It is.
That's contentment.
The thing with Jesus, though, is that it's not like he taught us fairness, because he said even if they take your cloak, give them another one. It's like he always wants you to go above and
beyond.
They ask you to go 1 mile, go two.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the extra mile.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the idea.
You don't have to be fair.
Don't rob God today
right.
by not giving as we have purposed or prospered.
Right.
We don't give God from what is left over.
Right.
We owe no one anything except to love.
Love.
We love, and our love for others will prevent that, right? Romans 13:9-10 says, For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Yeah.
So, we should avoid excessive concern over thieves of earthly property by laying up treasures in heaven. That's where your treasure, where your heart is, there your treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So.
And don't make a vow of something you're going to do and not be able to fulfill it. That was a good verse to read, because you say, "Oh, I'm going to give God." Well, if you can't do it, don't do it.
Don't rob God.
Don't rob God. Don't make a vow. Don't say a promise.
Yeah.
Don't make a
Just
promise.
Just be cheerful giver.
That's right. That's why it all came back to that in the end.
Yeah.
Be a cheerful giver. All right.
Speaking of not robbing God, the Revelation passage says, worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. So in other words, we ourselves have been purchased by God.
Yeah.
Therefore, we ourselves are his property.
We belong to him.
We belong to him, yeah.
And everything we have we need to think
about. We need to think about how we rob God and how we live in a way, you know, because we belong to him.
That's right.
You know.
And on that note, can you close us?
Yeah. Lord, thank you for your loving kindness, your grace and mercy that you show us each and every day. Thank you for your word, Lord, that's living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Help us to live as ones who are owned by you and honor you this week for your glory. In the name of Jesus.